Now I'd like you to turn with me tonight for this closing meeting to the book of Job in chapter 14. Book of Job in chapter 14, and we're going to read some verses there. Now, while you're looking that up, can I first of all say a sincere word of thanks to Mr. McRae and his session for their very kind invitation to me to come and share with you in this gospel campaign. It's certainly been my honor and my privilege. And in spite of the beautiful weather, many of you came night after night, and some of you came every night. And even if you're here tonight for the first time, we are delighted that you have come. I trust that God will abundantly bless you. Missions are always very special times. And of course, personally, I like gospel missions. And that was my former work, of course. And I've been enabled to carry it on in the church. Mr. McRae said that it's good of my church to release me and let me go and come. But maybe if you ask them, they're just about delighted to do that. But we've had a good 2 weeks together. And certainly my own heart has been blessed. And if the heart of a preacher is blessed, because that's sometimes the hardest heart to bless, then the Lord has done good things. So I do want to thank Mr. McRae and his session, his committee, and the congregation as a whole for inviting me here over the past 2 weeks. I'd also, of course, like to say a very sincere word of thanks to the ladies of the congregation. We have been, when many of you have gone home, we have been like the rich man in the Bible. It says he fared sumptuously every day, but we fared sumptuously every night. And it'll be time to try and shed some weight again after the mission has concluded. But we do want to thank one and all and trust that God will continue to bless his servant and his word as is preached. You know, sometimes a lot of flattery is said from pulpits, but I do want to say this sincerely from my heart, that I respect your minister immensely and believe him to be the greatest gospel preacher in our denomination. And I trust that God will continue to bless him mightily in the salvation of precious souls. You pray for him and give him all your support, because the Bible says we're workers together. And so we trust that we will even hear of great days and days of heaven upon earth, days of revival. Reading from Job chapter 14 and verse 1. Job chapter 14 and verse 1. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one, and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him, that he may rest till he shall accomplish an hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree. If it be cut down, then it will sprout again. Let the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? Man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? Let's just bow together and ask for the Lord's help. Our gracious God and our eternal Father in heaven, we come again on this closing Sabbath evening of this gospel camp here. And we stand in great need tonight, for we realize that decisions may be made tonight that will be irreversible. And we realize with the closing of this mission, the door of opportunity may close in someone's face forever. With the passing of the mission, may pass away God's offer of mercy. And, O God, we cry to Thee tonight that You will visit every heart. Bring sinners to the place of repentance and faith in Christ. So touch the heart of the backslider that they will come and reclaim the Savior. And we ask that You will bless and build up Your people, that this will be a crowning night in someone's life, a night when they will come face to face with Jesus Christ and have a blessed encounter with Him. Help us now to rightly divide the Scriptures, write its truth indelibly upon the tables of our heart, that we will not only hear, but that we will also heed the Word of God. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Keeping in mind the verses of Scripture that we read together this evening, there is another little verse of Scripture and will be familiar to, I'm sure, many in this meeting. It was quoted by a very ungodly individual, and it is recorded in the book of Numbers, chapter 23 and verse 10. That individual was Balaam by name, and he said, "Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his." Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. I'm always impressed with the words of the prophet Daniel, when he said a day would arrive, knowledge would increase, men's hearts would be so filled with fear that they would run to and fro throughout the earth. And I feel that that day is now more and more upon us. We have jumped out of a slow-moving society, and we are now in a modern, affluent, and fast-moving day. Sadly, people have become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And we live in a day when people will fear other people more than they will fear God. And yet that is something that God forbids us to do. The Bible says we are not to fear those who can kill our body. And after they have killed our body, there is nothing more that they can do. But the Bible says we are to fear Him who can kill the body, and after He has killed the body, He has power to destroy the soul in hell. Fear Him, the Bible says. And yet, our age is an age when people will fear men, fear circumstances, fear the future, fear everything, but they have no fear of God in their heart. It seems as if the devil, the prince of the power of the air, has mankind on a wheel. And the wheels of society are revolving at such a fast speed that very few people stop and ponder and consider their latter end. I want you to stop for a moment tonight on this closing night of the gospel campaign and give a little consideration to your latter end. I want you to ponder for a moment, because you and I are headed someplace. We are headed for eternity, but the big question is, where? You see, in the book of Job we read together, but man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? And you know, that thought often goes through the mind of every honest and evangelical preacher. When you gaze into the open coffin of someone who has gone out into eternity, the question often arises in our mind, where? And I want you to ask yourself that question tonight. If indeed this were my last night upon this earth, and if God does close the door of mercy in my face tonight after 2 weeks of gospel mission, where will I be? Job, he said this. He said, let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his. And there's an ungodly man, and he has this quest, this desire, this ambition, that irrespective of the life that he had lived in the past, that when he would come to die, it would be well with his soul. So he says, let me die the death of the righteous. I want you to notice, first of all, here, in his request, we have a solemn reality. He says, let me die. No doubt about that fact. There certainly was some doubt in his mind about how he would die, but there was no doubt in his mind about this fact, he was going to die. But he said, let me die the death of the righteous. He most certainly was not questioning the word of God, because the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. You see, the Bible says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. In other words, not going to live forever. Death is inevitable. It is appointed unto you and me to die. Now the Bible reminds us very clearly of that through the words of James. He says, and again by way of question, what is your life? My friend, have you ever thought about it? What is your life? Well, the Bible says your life is like a vapor. You go out some morning and you see the fog on the hillside. And after a short period of time, the fog lifts and it is gone. We will go into the room behind the pulpit after this meeting, and someone will put water in the kettle and they'll bring it to the boil, and the vapor will rise from the boiling kettle, and then when it is switched off, the vapor disappears and it's gone. And you see that particular vapor no more again forever. And such is your life and mine. Oh, it is true. Man dieth and wasteth away. Man giveth up the ghost. But the question is, where is he? Now, of course, you and I know that he will still be on earth as to his influence. You and I know that he will be in the grave as to his body. You and I know that he will be in eternity as to his state. And you and I will also know that he will be in heaven or hell as to his soul. Where will you be after death? Now the Bible tells us about the brevity of our life. It doesn't matter how long we live, we're going to die. Buried a woman this afternoon, and she was 97 years of age. I went in and I read on Friday afternoon from God's Word to her, prayed with her, she thanked me for doing that. And she says, you know, Mr. Morrow, I can't live forever. People think I'm going to live forever. That was 3:30. At 5:15, she was in eternity. But we're not all guaranteed that. The Bible says our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, and we soon fly away. In other words, folks, you and I, all of us, young and old, preacher and hearer alike, all of us are headed for eternity, and all of us are headed for heaven or for hell. Don't have any doubt about that. And no matter how long we live, it is going to be but for a short season. The hymn writer says, I have only one life on this earth, and as vapor it's passing away. My friend, you may have lived more years than you have before you. Well, we're going down the valley one by one. And our life is very, very brittle. Not only is life's span very short, life's tread is very, very slender. And someone illustrated it this way, as life hanging out over a merciless ocean, and every moment the clock ticks, a giant moth gnaws away at the tread of our life. One moment it's going to snap, and you and I are going to be in eternity. But where? Man dieth. And wasted away, he giveth up the ghost. And where? If the minister of this church were to bury you on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday, let me ask you where you would be in eternity when the folks would have gathered in the cemetery by the church, when they would be singing your praises and talking about you. Tell me, where would you be at that moment in God's eternity? Balaam, though ungodly as he was, he wanted to die right. Men and women and young people, let me say this to you. I do not know how you're living tonight. Maybe your parents don't know how you're living tonight. And maybe you wouldn't like them to know how you're living tonight. But God knows how you're living tonight. But if this is God's last day for you to live, how will you die tonight? He wanted to die the death of the righteous. One of our late queens, she said upon her deathbed, I'll give a million of money for a moment of time. Money, millions, billions, trillions cannot buy one moment of time. God has appointed our bounds and we cannot pass. And Balaam wanted to be sure that he'd die right. And you should set your heart to die right. You should make preparation for eternity. I'm not asking you tonight to make preparation for death. You could go out of this meeting. You can walk into a solicitor's office and you can draw up your earthly affairs and you can settle your earthly accounts. And that's making preparation for death. The Bible doesn't say that. Amos the prophet said, prepare to meet thy God. And have you made any preparation to meet him? All we heard in the solo tonight, he's coming. Maybe coming sooner than we realize. But he's coming. And deathbeds are gathering. But then, going on quickly, we have not only a solemn reality here, but we have a sincere request. He said, let me die the death of the righteous. Now, he was saying something here. He was saying that there's something different about the death of the righteous than the death of other people. Now, many people will tell us that everybody dies alike. We live our life. We come to our death. It's the end of the chapter. The book is shut. We die as a dog. That's the end of it. It wasn't the end of it as far as the Apostle John said, but he said, I saw the dead stand before God. And D.L. Moody said, when you read in the newspaper that D.L. Moody, the evangelist, is dead, don't you believe it? He said, I'll be more alive than I've ever been in my entire life. And when you and I have gone the last mile of the way, when we've taken our last step and drawn our last breath and spoken our last word, and we've gone into God's eternity, and people are looking into our coffin and upon our lifeless remains, I want you to know this, that you and I will be more alive than we've ever been before. But where? Will it be in God's heaven, or will it be in God's hell? Tell me, how will you die? I don't know if you recall the interview. After the death of Joey Dunlap, the racer of the motor bicycles. And the interviewer was interviewing his brother Robert, and in the light of the fact that his brother had been killed doing what he loved to do, racing his bicycles, he said to his brother, how would you like to die? And the interviewer was stumped. He said, I'd like to die as a Christian. Is that how you're going to die, friend? Or are you just going to die as a good churchgoer? A good moral man, a good upright person, a good self-righteous person, a good living person. But a person who never had a living encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ and never knew the joy of God's salvation. Now, how do the righteous die? What is different about the death of the righteous and the death of the unrighteous? Oh, well, the Bible tells us that the righteous, they die very, very differently. With the result that God said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. There's something very special, something that's delightful in the heart of the Almighty. When a child of God dies, you see, first of all, they die peacefully. Because the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Tell me, do you have peace with God? Do you know your sins are blotted out? Do you know that they're in the sea of God's forgetfulness? Do you have peace about your past life? Do you have peace about your future state? Do you have peace about where you'll be in God's eternity? I'm sure everyone knows the story of the Shunammite woman in the Old Testament. And she and her husband had made a little room for the prophet of God who passed by the house every day so that he could stop by there and rest, and they had a little room for him. And this couple were childless. And of course, he prayed that God would give them a child, and God give them a child. And the little boy in his growing up wanted to be out in the fields doing what his father would do. And one day he was out in the field with his father, and he fell ill. And he was taken home to his mother, and his mother was sitting nursing the boy. And the little boy died on her knee. That must have surely torn the heart out of any mother. And she took him up, and she laid him out on the bed of the prophet. And then she went out into the field, and that would have been an uncommon thing in those days, with the result that they were amazed to see her out there, and a messenger was sent to inquire why she was there. And he came, and he asked her three questions. And he said to her, is it well with you? And she says, it is well with me. Then he says, is it well with your husband? And she says, it is well with my husband. And then he says, is it well with the child? And she says, it is well with the child. But the child is dead. And oh, folks, isn't it a wonderful thing to say, not only in the midst of our life it is well, but also in death it is well. Can you say tonight, it is well with my soul, come life or come death, this I know beyond the shadow of all doubt, that I will be with Christ, which is far better. The Apostle Paul could speak with such assurance in her heart. In fact, he could face death and say, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Because he knew the moment he'd close his eyes in death, he'd open them in God's heaven, in the presence of him who loved him and died on the cross to save him. My friend, do you have that assurance in your heart? I want you to know you can tonight. You can walk out of this meeting knowing it's well with your soul. You can go out of this meeting absolutely sure you'll never be in hell. You can put your soul beyond the possibility of ever being lost tonight. Christ died for you. He says, come, and him that cometh I will in no wise cast out, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you can die peacefully. That's how the righteous die. They die, of course, pardoned. The Bible tells us that their sins are blotted out, the record is clear, the past is forgotten, it's gone, it's under the blood. That's a wonderful blessing in itself, to know the past is under the blood. But I'll tell you something else, even more precious. Not only at conversion is our past sins forgiven, Our present sins are forgiven. Our future sins are forgiven. Christ died on the cross for all my sin. And we stand justified as if we had never sinned at all. And God's people die prepared. They're a sea of people. You know, some people don't like the word saved. Tell me, friend, are you saved? I'm not asking you tonight if you've made a commitment. I'm asking you, are you saved? Well, the Bible says we must be saved, for neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must. This is not optional in your life or mine. This is imperative. We must be saved. And if you're ever going to get into God's heaven, my friend, you must be saved. What preparation have you made for eternity? What preparation have you made to meet God? You know, Isaac said, I know not the day of my death. That puts the urgency into making preparation now. Not tomorrow. Not when you're older. Not on your deathbed. Many people don't have a deathbed. Many people die on roads. Many people are cut off in tragic accidents. Many a man and many a woman, many a young person went out from the comfort of their home in the morning, never to return again. And because we know not the day of our death, there is an urgency, men and women, in getting right with God tonight. Man dieth, he wasted away, giveth up the ghost. Where is he? My friend, where would you be tonight in God's eternity? Let me conclude with a sad regret. He said, let me die the death of the righteous. Solemn reality, death is coming. A sincere request, let me die the death of the righteous. Don't let me die the death of the ungodly. Don't let me die in my sin. Don't let me go into eternity without my God as my Savior. But we have a sad regret. Because, though he wanted to die as the righteous die, he didn't die as the righteous die. He died in an ungodly state. And he died amongst the enemies of Christ. And there's many a man and a woman, they have intended to get right with God, and they wanted to die right, and they wanted to be sure of heaven. But they never made their calling and their election sure. And oh, it's a sad regret to many a family that they didn't make it through to God. Little wonder the weeping prophet Jeremiah says, how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? That is, in the day of your death. Little wonder Isaiah said to King Hezekiah, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Friend, have you set your house in order spiritually? Are you prepared for eternity? Death is a day of sorrow. Death always brings sorrow. It's very hard to say goodbye to loved ones, no matter how long they have lived on this earth. It's very hard to see that coffin go down into Mother Earth and know that their seat will be empty and you'll hear their voice on this earth no more. But how sad if that coffin is put into Mother Earth and you're still in your sin. It's not only a day of sorrow, it's a day of separation. Oh, the hymn writer says, there's loved ones in the glory whose dear form you often miss. Tell me, when you close your earthly story, will you join them in their bliss? Will the circle be unbroken by and by, by and by? Maybe there's someone here and a loved one dying, and you vowed you'd meet them in heaven. But if you died as you are tonight, you wouldn't. For you've never made any preparation. It was a sad regret. He didn't die as the righteous die. And oh, what a weeping and a wailing. When the lost were told of their fear, and they cried for the rocks and the mountains. But their cry, just too late. You say it's too soon for you to receive Christ. But you don't know how soon it will be too late. Where will you be in eternity? Remember this, folks. You could go from this church to hell. And it would have been better you'd never heard the gospel at all than to hear it and not heed it. So what, on this closing night, will you do with Jesus? No neutral you cannot be, and one day your heart may well be asking, what will Jesus do with me? Or what will you do without Jesus on the day of your death? Friend, make sure you die as the righteous die. Prepared, pardoned, with the peace of God in your heart. Don't die without the Savior. I'd like to die as a Christian, he said. Would you like to die as a Christian? You can tonight if you put your trust in Jesus Christ. Would you trust Him? Or how long will you go on in sin? How long will God forbear? Where does hope end and where begin the confines of despair? Many people, they want to get to heaven. I've never met a man who told me he didn't want to go to heaven. And I'm sure tonight if I said to you after this meeting, do you want to go to heaven? You'd say yes. But can I say to you this? When, my friend, just when? When do you plan to prepare? When do you plan to prepare? Jesus said today is the day of salvation. Then comes, sinner come, salvation's free to all. But this night may be the last night you'll ever hear God's call. So make sure you're ready to meet God. Make sure tonight. Make sure now. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks this night that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to die the just for the unjust, that we through him might be saved. Lord, we pray that not one boy or girl, man or woman, or teenager will die who's present in this meeting without the Savior. Grant that one day we'll all sit down together around the throne of God and the Lamb. We pray that you'll give them that urgency this night to get right with you, to trust you. Bring them to yourself, for we pray in Jesus' name.